Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Last month, two pharmaceutical companies, Pfizer and Moderna, announced extraordinary news. Test vaccines designed to help protect humans from COVID-19 showed early success and no major question marks for safety. The preliminary findings appear to be good, but there are still some questions yet to be answered. Here to break down the latest developments in the search for a COVID vaccine is Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, we need some good news in this annus horribilis, so let's begin there.
Well, both Pfizer and Moderna have announced they're submitting vaccine trial data to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, so they can get emergency authorization to administer the first vaccines against COVID-19. That authorization could come this month. The FDA's benchmark for efficacy is 50%. Pfizer says its vaccine hit 90% efficacy, and Moderna's efficacy was almost 95%.
Now let's pause on that word efficacy. That has a specific meaning in immunology. What does a high degree of efficacy mean?
Efficacy shows us how well an experimental vaccine works. Let's use Moderna as an example. A 95% efficacy means 95% of the people who got sick during the vaccine trial were from the placebo, or what we call the control group. They did not receive the trial vaccine. Let's look at it another way, Brandon. Only 5% who became infected with COVID-19 during the clinical trials were from the group that got the trial vaccine, or what we sometimes call the treatment group.
Is there other good news about vaccine development more broadly right now?
Yes, we've already talked about Pfizer and Moderna, but there are other vaccines in the pipeline. 10 other companies are conducting final vaccine trials. Also, the speed of the development of the vaccines is noteworthy, especially given that Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are the first successful vaccines to use a special molecule called messenger RNA, or sometimes referred to as mRNA.
I wanted to ask about that. Why is it significant that these vaccines use messenger RNA?
Messenger RNA is a molecule that has the necessary materials to make a protein that triggers someone's immune system to make antibodies without causing a COVID-19 infection. Essentially, Brandon, these mRNA vaccines train your body to recognize and fight the virus.
The initial doses of either of these vaccines will go to high priority groups. Who is in those groups?
People in those groups are those at high risk for serious illness and those who are important for dealing with the pandemic. We're talking, Brandon, about frail nursing home residents and healthcare and emergency workers. The CDC will be who determines who are the priority groups.
Now, we don't want to rain on this parade of encouraging news, but there is some drizzle. It's worth pointing out that both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines require two doses to be fully effective. It's not a one and done. Think about vaccinating everyone in Tennessee. The state's population is about 6.7 million, so we would need 13.5 million doses just to get the job done.
Right, Brandon. And this is one of the hurdles that will have to be surmounted to get as many people as possible vaccinated. It's projected there will be 40 million doses available by the end of this year. That's enough to vaccinate only 20 million Americans. If we wanted to vaccinate everyone in the country, we would need 660 million doses. And then, of course, think about the global population, which is more than 7 billion people. You start getting into some very big numbers.
Making enough of the vaccine is one hurdle. Then there's distribution. That's getting those doses to where they're needed. What do we know about that?
One thing we know, Brandon, is the scale for the COVID-19 campaign exceeds that of any previous vaccination campaign in human history. In the U.S., the federal government is slated to oversee a centralized system of ordering, distributing, and tracking administration of the vaccines. Vaccines are slated to be ordered through the CDC. Most signs point to the healthy members of the general public getting vaccines sometime around next summer.
There are further issues to consider about these two vaccines, including storage, how long their protection lasts, and even politics.
Yes, let's start with storage. It is a consideration. Moderna's vaccine needs to be stored at 25 degrees Fahrenheit, just like your home freezer. The vaccine is said to be stable for 30 days at normal fridge temperatures. That's good news. But Pfizer vaccine requires ultra-cold freezer storage, minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit. That's a big concern because most hospitals, pharmacies, and other healthcare offices don't have freezers capable of maintaining that temperature. You also asked about how long the vaccine's protection will last. We don't really know because the vaccines are new. It's possible that in the future, we'll regard COVID-19 shots the way we do flu shots, where people will need to get boosters every so often to keep their immunity up. Lastly, politics. We know, Brandon, transitions are critical. Think about the precision and coordination needed to pass the baton in an Olympic relay race, and the scale and complexity of the vaccination effort. Lots could go wrong. Let's hope it doesn't.
In a previous episode of Health Connections about the search for a COVID vaccine, another hurdle we described was public perception. The vaccines may work well, but they won't work at all if people refuse to get immunized.
Yes, another way to say what you just said is vaccines do not save lives, but vaccination does. It's imperative that a high percentage of Americans get immunized. But our current environment is one in which how seriously people take the pandemic tends to break down along political lines. That could make it difficult to achieve the level of vaccination needed to achieve herd immunity. A recent poll from Vanderbilt University is telling. 40% of the survey participants, adults, said they were unlikely to get vaccinated. That is a problem.
Well, we shared the encouraging news about vaccine development. We've now described some of the challenges. Any final thoughts as we wrap up this episode?
The most important thing, Brandon, we can say to our listeners is even if you get vaccinated in the near future, we must continue wearing masks, physically distancing, avoiding large group gatherings, especially in closed spaces, wash our hands frequently, stay at home when we're sick, and avoid touching our faces. There may be light visible at the end of the tunnel, but we're going to be in that tunnel for a while longer.
Dr. Carol Myers, the creator of Health Connections and a professor in the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, always a pleasure to talk with you.
The pleasure is always mine, Brandon.